peace from God, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Dear friends in Christ, it is Epiphany, celebrated on the 13th day of Christmas. You've made it through the Christmas season. It's one of the oldest holidays on the Christian calendar. And at the core of this celebration of Epiphany is the idea that God is breaking into the world. He's making his presence known. He is revealing himself as a child born into a world, the Word of God made flesh. It's the understanding based on the gospel story of Jesus that God is intervening in his creation as a human being with the mission of bringing salvation to all people. Historically, the season of Epiphany begins with the Feast of the Epiphany, which in the Western Church centers on the visit of the Magi, recorded for us in Matthew chapter 2. As you've probably heard before, most of the things that we know or think we know about this event are probably wrong. We've been a little bit more influenced by Christmas carols and medieval literature than by Scripture. And quite honestly, the traditions that were developed by the early church haven't helped us very much. Despite our Christmas program and our manger scene memories, the Magi did not appear with the shepherds. They visit Jesus in a house, not in the stable. There may have been three, but there could have been more, or possibly even fewer. And they really weren't kings or wise men either, for that matter. Most shockingly for the people of Israel, these wise guys were Gentiles. Matthew calls them simply Magi from the east. And it's hard to guess where the east is, but it's most likely Babylon or Persia, modern-day Iraq or Iran. And the Magi are not wise men as we typically think about them. The idea that they possessed great wisdom by earthly standards comes from about the 8th century after Jesus is born. Magi are more likely astrologers, or as their name suggests, magicians. The only other time Magi are referenced in the Scriptures is the Greek translation of Daniel chapter 2. And there King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream that he can't understand, and he commands the Magi, in most English translations today, will be translated as magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be brought forward to interpret his dream. And of course, they have no idea what he is talking about. Only Daniel, the Hebrew, is able to reveal his dream to the king. And so the people of Jesus' day and the audience of Matthew are quite frankly going to be shocked that magicians from the east are coming to Israel to find a king. Seems a bit absurd. We don't know how they knew what they knew, but maybe it came from their study of the stars. Or perhaps it came from their study of the Hebrew Scriptures. But they aren't particularly wise men. Look at the story that Matthew paints for us. They come to the wrong place, Jerusalem instead of Bethlehem. They ask the wrong people questions, the king instead of the religious leaders. And even when they get the right answers, go to Bethlehem. They need a star to show them the way. On top of all that, they appear, at least at first, to be quite willing to return to Herod and tell him everything they know until God warns them in a dream to return by another route. Why do they come? Here's the shocker. They do something right. They come to visit and to worship a king. Quite convinced that something very important has happened, they stop at nothing to track down this king. And on coming into the house, they open up their treasures and they present the costliest gifts of their age, gold and frankincense and myrrh. The best gifts that money can buy. Expensive,
treasured gifts,
extravagant gifts, given to a king, a baby. And as they kneel before the child, they worship him. Imagine, if you will, the scene. Strange, foreign, court magicians coming into a home, shocking parents with extravagant gifts, and then kneeling in homage before the child. Imagine for a moment a strange-looking group of foreigners arriving in a minivan. They pull up in front of church this morning and come to the door and knock and ask to enter because they have heard Jesus is here. You ask them how they know, and they told you that their horoscope told them. And as you look outside, you notice that there are a number of very strange tattoos, several unusual weapons, and honestly, these people look more like terrorists than our regular church people. You invite them to join in? Come on in. Let's all worship Jesus. But you see, the point of the story was that God was working overtime to get these foreigners an audience with the King of all creation. Through their visit, and through Matthew's recording of it, God is showing that he oftentimes chooses to work in ways that defy our human expectations. Even though these are Gentile star worshipers, God still cares about them. He reaches out to them and he directs them to find Jesus. He points them in his word to the scriptures, to Micah. He gives them a sign in the heavens and even speaks to them in a dream for good measure. God cares about these Gentile magi, even if most pious Jews wouldn't even give them the time of day. Matthew's already given us a little bit of a hint of this. Chapter 1, as he shares the genealogy of Jesus, he includes notoriously sinful people like Rahab and Judah and Manasseh and a Moabite by the name of Ruth. Yet all of this shows that Jesus has come not just for the pure and the powerful, but for the lost, for the lowly sinner. He comes not to the upper crust of society, or to the wise and powerful, but to those who seem by our standards least likely to deserve to be part of the kingdom of God. God's heartfelt desire is that he reach and connect with every single person in our world. He wants to touch the lives of kings and homeless people. He cares about royalty and those who are rejected. He loves the world, this place of failure and fragile lives. And he speaks through the power of his word and through his people. And light breaks into darkness for you and me. Because though we often are clueless and helpless sinners, like those magi, God rescues us from our ignorance, from our spiritual blindness, from our sin. Like the magi of old, he sends light into our world. He shares the message of the scriptures with us. And Jesus, God, is breaking into the world on a mission of restoration and reconciliation. He's repairing the damage of human sin, failure, and rebellion. And so the message of Epiphany, this story of the visit of the Magi, should encourage us all. Can we, like the Magi, be open to the working of God in our world? Can we be obedient to God's call, even when it puts us in unfamiliar and uncomfortable places? Can we humble ourselves as we worship the King of creation, even when he doesn't quite look the way that we think he should? Can we give our very best to God, our treasure, our time, and our talents, as we kneel and worship? I have to think that these magi didn't just come to visit Jesus, drop their gifts in his lap, and hurry out the door. I don't trumpet, they just rushed home and continued life just as it always had been before. No, I think this encounter with Jesus changed their lives. Just as the coming into the presence of Jesus always changes lives. I imagine that they lingered in the house, that they talked with Mary and Joseph. They learned as much as they possibly could about this child. And they probably spent much of the rest of their lives trying to learn more. Everything they possibly could about this newborn Savior King. Through the years, the visit of the Magi has reminded God's people that God desires all to come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. And it is this epiphany, this manifestation, this revelation of God in the flesh, living in the midst of his people, that God uses even today through the power of his word and through the lives of his people to bring the message of salvation to those whom he loves. So how does God want to use you in this week to bring light into darkness? What small thing can you do to share God's love to your neighbor? Can you point someone to the scriptures? Can you demonstrate God's mercy and care? Can you give a gift that draws other people to know Christ better? May God empower you to live as children of light as we serve our Lord and Savior. And may it be sown our lives to God's glory and to the building up of his kingdom, now and into eternity. Amen. I invite you to stand as together we confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,